Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning, particularly on this day, and to share with you the Word of God. And obviously, we've known Pastor Storm since 2003, so we knew him for a number of years, fellowshiped with him, enjoyed preaching for him in years past. Hadn't been down here for about 5-6 years, but it's good to be back again. And we love Mrs. Storm. I've called on them both in the hospital many times, but God has been good. And I'm rejoicing with you today that Pastor Storm has been promoted. He's been promoted to glory, and we can rejoice in that. I know Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and he said to die is gain. It's good for him. It's not good for us, but it's good for him. And so we thank God for that, and do plan, Lord willing, to be back tomorrow with our pastor. I'm now attending and sharing at Valley Baptist with Pastor Cowling, and we plan to be down tomorrow and be here for the service tomorrow. But God is good. I'm glad my wife Ruth was able to come today, and we can share with you, and it's just good to be in the house of the Lord. And we're glad that you're with us today, and we're going to have a good time in the Lord, and trust it'll be a blessing to you as we share from the Word of God. Let's bow together for a word of prayer as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you said in your word, your grace is sufficient for us. And it is, Lord, in every time of need. We know, Lord, that this is a time of need for the folk at Florence Baptist Church, for Mrs. Storm, the family. We know, Lord, that we need your grace. We need your strength. We need encouragement. We need your hand of love to lift us up and provide for us day by day. And Lord, we ask that this would be a very special time as we worship you today, and that God would speak to our hearts and minister to us in our time of need. So, Lord, we love you. We pray your guidance now as we look into the scriptures today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you this morning in this hour about simply memorials. It's a little different, not maybe what you'd think when I mention that, but I trust it'll be a blessing to you. 1 Samuel chapter 12 is the passage that I'm going to use to initiate and begin our discussion this morning as we talk together about this great theme that we have today. 1 Samuel chapter 12 says this, beginning in verse 19. And boy, I tell you, he's right on the ball. He gets that right up there. He's knows what he's doing. We appreciate that. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. You know the situation, of course, that the Lord, and we'll be talking about this in the morning service later, and the people decided that they wanted a king to be like other nations. They came and asked. Samuel was loath to do that, and he warned them what a king would do in his leadership. He told them that he'll conscript your sons, he'll take your daughters to serve in other ways, it'll be a burden on you. But they wanted a king to be like other nations and go in and out before them and fight their battles. Never mind they had the Lord to go in and out and fight their battles. They wanted a man to go in and out and fight their battles. So it was in a time of chaos and confusion. And it's interesting, the scripture goes on, verse 20, and Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness. He said, all these things that you've done do not please God. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside for them, should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Is that not true of us today? We didn't choose him, he chose us. And he drew us to himself, just as God said he drew Israel. And so he said, you're God's people because of his working for you, not because of what you did. And verse 23, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Now, this is the verse that I want to key on this morning in this hour. Only fear the Lord. What does that mean? Have reverential awe for the Lord. Respect the Lord. Show him the honor, the respect, the awe that he deserves. Fear the Lord. Serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things the Lord hath done for you. A memorial is something designed or established to serve as a remembrance of a person or event. Tomorrow we'll have a service here. In essence, it'll be a memorial service. And it'll be a time to remember what God did in the life and ministry of Pastor Storm. And he has left a tremendous legacy. I mean, this church exists because of God using Pastor Storm to raise up this church. This is a memorial, if you will. It is a living testimony. Church is a living organism. It's not a building, it's a living organism. And this is a living organism as a testimony to the life and ministry of Pastor Storm. And that'll be emphasized, I'm sure, tomorrow. So a testimony is a memorial. Do you remember what happened in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8? Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, we find the story of the demoniac of Gadara, who was healed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You recall how he was a feared individual. Nobody could tame him. Nobody could control him. Chains couldn't hold him. And when Jesus came, the demons that possessed him cried out to him and asked him not to send them to eternal destruction, which is their future home. And the Lord Jesus Christ forbade them or declared that they could go into the herd of swine. And when they did, those herd of swine ran down and drowned in the lake. But this demoniac was transformed by the grace of God. And verse 35 of Luke 8 says, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They were taken with great fear, verse 37 says. And they asked him to depart from them. And so the Lord Jesus Christ went up into a ship to return to the other side of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. And it's interesting that the man out of whom he had cast the devils requested that he could go with him. He said, take me with you. I want to go with you. Wouldn't you want to go with Jesus? Wouldn't you want to be with him? And he did too. Brand new Christian, just had the devils cast out, just had come to know Jesus and his miracle-working power and as his personal Savior. You know, you do not have any hope. You are under the control of darkness. Read Ephesians chapter 2. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, and in whom the God of this world had control. That was the demoniac. And that's where we were before we were saved. Every single one of us were transformed by the grace of God. And so he wanted to be with Jesus. But verse 39, this is a key verse. Return to thine own house and show them how great things he hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done. Isn't it interesting that the Word of God tells us that this demoniac became a testimony, a memorial to the work of God in his life? I better pick that up before I step on it and crush it. And so he was a memorial. He was a living memory of what Christ did when he cast the demons out of his life. A living memorial. That's what we are to be. We are to be a living memorial for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the passage we read in 1 Samuel gives us the importance of remembering. Why should we remember what God has done? Why should we remember? Only fear the Lord, serve him in truth with all your heart. When we remember what he has done, when we remember how he lifted us out of the slime, Now we should be beyond there nice and live. Now I don't have to depend on this one. but the demoniac was a living memorial, a living testimony. And I submit to you, that's what every one of us should be. Now let's think a little bit more about memorials. I have something here. Oh, and it's trying to come apart on me. But it's an interesting thing. It's a memorial. Years ago, I was pastor in Brainerd, Minnesota, First Baptist Church. And I pastored there for 10 years, had the opportunity of reaching many with the gospel and serving the Lord Jesus Christ there. And one evening, I was working in the church. I was up doing something in the sound booth, and the phone rang. I answered the phone. It was a man in our church who had what we used to call a junkyard. I don't think they call them that anymore. It's a recycling car yard or something like that. But he had a junkyard. And he had a fellow in his office that he'd been talking with that had a problem. He had a drinking problem. And so this man was open to the gospel. And Brother Dick said, "Would you go and visit Lou right now? He's home. I think he was in an accident, and Dick had gone to haul his truck or car in, and he was home. He was a construction man, a builder. So I said, okay. So he gave me the directions, and I went over and I found his house. And I went in, and I could tell immediately that he'd been drinking. He was an alcoholic. And I could tell immediately he'd been drinking. So I sat down beside him. He was in one recliner, and I was in the one next to him. I sat down beside him, and we began to open the scriptures with him. Lou was a tall man, 6'3", 6'4", he was a very worldly man, but he knew he had a problem. So I presented to him the gospel, and after a while, Lou humbly bowed his head and asked Christ to save him. And we rejoiced at that, and we rejoiced. His wife was ecstatic. So I got ready to go, and Lou said, "Pastor, I want you to have this." And he took this out, and it's a very simple item. It's a key. He had evidently constructed a particularly significant building, and they had given him a key as a reminder of his work. And he said, "Pastor, I want you to have this." I said, "Well, Lou, that's special to you." "Yeah," but he said, "this is more special. Today you gave me the key to eternal life. And I want you to have that." That was back in the 1970s. Okay, I've had this a long time. Lou was saved. He struggled for a little bit with his alcoholism, but God gave him victory. Lou became a stalwart for the Lord. He visited Israel with us in one of our trips. He became a deacon in the church at Brainerd. Later on, after he had retired, he moved out here to Arizona, lived down, what is it, Sun City or down on the south side? He lived down there, went to a Baptist church down there. He became one of the founders of a nonprofit organization that helped people in need like he had been and had a great influence for the Lord. But Lou said, "I want you to have this as a memory of what happened tonight." I left that home and I told Dick, I said, "Well," I went, I visited him, and he prayed, but he said, he'd been drinking. I don't know if it was real or not. Was it real? Oh, yeah. He was transformed by the grace of God. In all those years, I've had this as a testimony. That's a memorial. A memorial. Every time I look at this, I keep it in my office. Every time I look at it, I remember Lou Ward. I remember the transformation, which was a miracle of God's grace, to lift him out of alcoholism. His marriage was about to explode, and he became a servant of God. You know, that's a memorial. That's what a memorial is. Something that you, when you see it, you remember an event or a person. That's what a memorial is. And you and I are to be memorials of the grace of God. We are to be a memorial for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want you to consider with me just briefly today several memorials that we can actually see presented in Scripture. First of all, flip over to Joshua chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Joshua chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God unto the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man a what? Stone. He said, we're going over Jordan. We're going into the land that God has promised us. And as you cross this Jordan, which was parted so they could go through on dry ground, when you go through, there's stones. They were buried by water before, but they're available now. Pick every man up a stone. Take it with you over to the other side, and this was a certain chosen number of men. Take every one, and when you get on the other side, lay them down as a memorial. Take you up every man a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel. So how many stones did they take? 12 tribes, 12 stones, because of 12 tribes. So they took those 12 stones, and they weren't just little pebbles. They weren't like the stones that David took out of the brook to cast at Goliath. They weren't like those stones. These were rocks. These were boulders. These were good-sized stones. So they took those stones, and they went across. And notice what happened. Take you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes, that this may be a what? Sign unto you. A memorial. Every time they passed by, they would see that pillar of stones, that altar, that sign, that when your children ask your fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a what? Memorial unto you, unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, took up the 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the manner of the number of the tribes of Israel, and carried them over unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And they set up the 12 stones. And every time they passed Jordan, every time they went on a journey that way, and they saw those stones, what did it cause them to do? Remember what God had done. Now, shouldn't that have been enough to cause them to want to serve the Lord all the days of Israel? But they didn't, of course. But they had it there. It was a memorial. That's what a memorial is. Stones reflected what God had done. And God has done great things for us. And we ought to have those stones in our lives that reflect to others the testimony of what God has done for us. So we should be living memorials. But, you know, there's others. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, over in the New Testament. I have a tendency to move around some and not stay in one chapter. Occasionally I do, but not very often. So you have to be ready to move around in your Bible a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And notice, if you would, beginning in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of the words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. The cross, the emblem of the cross, is really a memorial. It's really a memorial. Whenever we see the cross, what should it remind us of? What Christ did for us. That Christ suffered for us, that he bled for us, that he died for us, that he rose again, that he ascended into heaven, that he's coming back one day. All of that should be brought to mind when we look at the cross. It's not it's not something that is a good luck charm. It is a memorial of what Christ did for us. It is a memorial that we can see it, we can remember, and we can recommit ourselves to be living memorials for the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at Philippians chapter 2 for a moment, just a little bit further on in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man,
He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of what? The cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hey, that cross that Jesus bore for us, that death that he humbled himself to accomplish for us, is a memorial. It is a memorial. And when we see that, it ought to remind us that Jesus not only died, but that he arose, that he ascended up on high, he's seated today at the right hand of God, and he's going to come again soon to take us unto himself. What does that give us? Hope. Assurance. We're in the midst of troubled days, in case you weren't aware of it. We are in the midst of troubled days in America. We are. And I was talking to my son that lives in Tucson the other day, and he was saying, I'm really, really concerned about the direction America is going in. He said, I've had a lot of people over the years say, if I could, I would leave America. And I often wondered, what in the world would they say that for? But I'm beginning to understand. Because America's headed in the wrong direction. But you know what? All we've got to do is look to the cross and be encouraged, because we know that Jesus not only died, but what? He was triumphant over death. The worst thing that could happen to man, Christ had victory over. And the cross is a memorial to that. It's a memorial. It's something that we can look at and remember what Christ has done and find joy and pleasure in it. And so the cross is a memorial. We sing that song, the old rugged cross. What does it say? The emblem of suffering and shame. An emblem is a memorial. An emblem is a testimony. An emblem is something that signifies an event or a place, something that happened. That's what the cross was. And so the cross is a magnificent emblem. It is a magnificent memorial. And it's one that ought to bring us peace in the midst of the turmoil of our day. No matter what happens around us, the triumph of the cross cannot be lost. It was settled for all eternity. No matter what happens to us, the cross declares to us the hope and victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. It's a memorial. And we ought to be encouraged in that memorial and knowing what we have in Christ. But then there's another rainbow mentioned, another memorial mentioned in Scripture in Genesis chapter 9. Keep knocking that pen down. I think I'll leave it there. Genesis chapter 9. And you know the story, of course. Word of God tells us every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. It repented God that he had made man. He determined that he would bring judgment upon man. And God prepared to do what? Send a great flood, send the rain, something they'd never seen before. And God determined that he would send a flood. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And verse 12 says, this is the token of the covenant. What's a token? Well, it's like an emblem. It's something that speaks the reality of a promise that's given. It's a memorial that what God said is true and will happen. So God gave them a token. Verse 12, a token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. How long was it going to last? Forever. Perpetual. Unending. Who's the only one who's unending? God is. The unending eternal God gave us an unending eternal promise. He said, I do set my what? Bow in the cloud. It shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. God says, I'm going to give you a token, a memorial, if you will, of a covenant that we have, an agreement that I have. And that token was a bow. We call it a rainbow. What infuriates me is when those who spurn the word of God and declare that that which God's word condemns as evil is good takes a rainbow as their symbol. That's disgusting. God's going to judge him for it one day. I'm glad it isn't me that's the one. I'd have destroyed him already. God's gracious. He's given them opportunity to repent. But God said, it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. You ever see a rainbow? Oh, I tell you, rainbows are beautiful. The most beautiful rainbow I ever saw was the one time we got to visit Hawaii. Some folks gave us a week in their timeshare in Hawaii. And we went to Maui, and we went up on the north shore where it's kind of desolate. Nobody lives up there. And we were there, and just as we arrived, this huge rainbow appeared, and you could see it come up out of the water, over and down. It was gorgeous. Got a picture of it. It was absolutely beautiful. And I thought of this passage. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The rainbow is God's memorial of the covenant he established between him and mankind. And he said, I'll never destroy the earth with a flood again. Well, he's going to destroy it. But it won't be with a flood. It'll be with fire. But he said, I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. They talk today about climate change, warming of the atmosphere. You know what? Man's not going to destroy the atmosphere. God's going to judge it. But they're right. It's going to be with heat. But it isn't increased heat from a depleted ozone layer. It's the judgment of God with fire upon the earth. And every time we see a rainbow, it ought to remind us we'll never be destroyed by a flood again worldwide. But we will be judged by the God of hand of God for rejecting him and his word one day. Thank God that he provided us eternal redemption, or there would be no hope. But we have the memorial of the rainbow. And what a tremendous and spectacular memorial that is. A token of God's love. God said, Noah, this is the token, verse 17. This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. So God gave us a token, a memorial. And that token was the rainbow. And it was to remind us of God's loving care. Why? Because he could have destroyed everything. He could have destroyed the whole earth and started all over. But instead, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Those of us who are saved today find grace in the eyes of the Lord. We don't have to fear the coming judgment that will be a universal judgment of fire. We don't have to fear that. Why? Because we have this token that reminds us God's not going to judge it in water, but rather God spares his chosen ones in grace. And when we're in Christ, we're in grace. We don't have to fear the judgment of God. My friend, if you haven't come to Christ today, you don't have much to look forward to. Only a horrible day of judgment that will come upon all who have rejected Christ. You need to trust Christ today. You need to see that you're in him. But then there's some other memorials, and I want to mention them just quickly if I could. We have the memorial of precious stones. For example, in Exodus 39, verses 6 and 7, you find that when God was establishing his covenant with Israel and he was giving them those things that should guide them, he gave them these things. Verse 6, Ezekiel of Exodus 39. And they wrought onyx stones enclosed in ouches of gold, graven as signets are graven, with the names of the children of Israel. So they had these stones, onyx, couched in gold. They were held in place by gold. And the names of the children of Israel were engraved on them. And he made the breastplate of cunning work. And so they had the work of the ephod of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, fine twined linen. But the stones were for, look at verse 7. put on them the shoulders of the ephod, that they should be stones for a what? Memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. So they, every time they went in the presence of the priest, every time they came to the temple to worship, they saw those stones, and each one saw a stone with the name of their tribe on it, and it reminded them that they were under the hand of God. They were under His care. They were under His provision. He had a covenant relationship with them, and these stones, gorgeous stones, were a reminder of that. And so that's interesting. That's interesting. You know, sometimes people ask me, I wear rings. I don't wear them to show I'm wealthy, because I'm not. But each one of them has a particular memorial to me. For example, this is a sapphire. This sapphire ring was my dad's. Only thing I have left of my dad's. Only thing. He died when he was 87, at home, alone. And when I was getting ready after the funeral to come back home, back to the Midwest, I was in Minnesota at the time, my brother said, "Anything you want?" I said, "What are they going to do with this ring? Dad loved this ring. Beautiful sapphire ring." He said, "No." I said, "Can I have it?" He said, "Sure." I had to resize it. It was too small for my little finger. That's because my little finger has been hurt so many times playing basketball and stuff that it's enlarged. The joint is enlarged permanently. So I had to have it enlarged a little bit and I put it on. But every time I look at that, you know what it reminds me of? My dad. My dad. A man who loved the Lord dearly. Played the organ for the last 50 years of his life in the church. But he loved the Lord. So that's a memorial. It has special meaning to me. And I've been wearing it for 18, going on 19 years now. And it's a memorial. And then I have this one that's a topaz. Topaz is a precious jewel, precious stone, that is somewhat native to the land of Israel. And they mine it down there in the southern part of the nation. And I had the privilege for 12 different occasions to lead tours to Israel and the various responsibilities I had in serving the Lord. And and the last time we were there, my 12th visit, we went down to the south. And I wanted something that would particularly remind me, because I knew I was retiring from the Minnesota Baptist Association as the director at that time. It would remind me of all those trips I had. It would remind me of all the things that I saw and viewed in Israel that gave evidence that the Word of God was true. And so I bought that topaz ring. So I've had it for, well, since 2001, 20 years now. And it's special to me. Every time I look, I take it off occasionally and look them off, but it reminds me. And then I have this one. This is a special ring because I got it. My wife arranged for me to have it on our 25th anniversary. That was over 35 years ago now. And so I've been wearing that, and it, when we got it, it was a gold band, and the letters RP were, I guess, I superimposed back to back with each other. My initials are RP. It had been made for somebody else, and then they didn't want it. And so the jeweler, who was a member of one of our churches, and we knew him, he said, "I'll give it to you real cheap." He gave it to me for less than the value of the gold that was in it. And so we got it. And then a few years later, I don't know how many, I went back to him, and he put in the diamonds in there. And so I have this ring with my initials and diamonds in it. And every time I look at it, it reminds me of how precious those years have been. And so it's a memorial. And then I have one other ring I wear. It's this one here. Small, plain. I mean, who would want a ring like that? Me? Why? What is it? A wedding ring, a wedding band. You know what? I have not had that off in 61 years. I mean, that's a long time. I couldn't take it off. The only way you could get it off now is to cut it off. Now, you know, as I continue to get older and I waste away, I may get skinny enough, it'll come off again. But right now, they'd have to cut it off. That's the only way. I've not had it off in 61 years. But it's special. Why? Because it reminds me of that day in December of 1959 when Ruth and I stood together in an altar in Clinton, Indiana, and we joined together as husband and wife. Knowing, both of us knowing absolutely perfectly well in our hearts that we were marrying the one that God chose for us. And you know what? Through all we've gone through 61 years, and everybody goes through struggles in 61 years, we've known that the whole purpose that we are together is because God brought us. You know, we were born one day apart. One day apart, 1939. I was born in New Hampshire. She was born in Clinton, Indiana. Neither one of us were saved. Our folks weren't saved. But you know what? When we were like juniors, sophomore juniors in high school, she got saved in Indiana. I got saved in New Hampshire. Within a year and a half, we both were in Moody Bible Institute, where we met. You know what? God had a plan. God had us born the same time, day apart, over 1,000 miles apart, brought us together in a school that taught the Word of God, and welded us together to serve God together in this life. Don't you think that ring means something to me? That's pretty special. That's pretty special. Every one is a memorial. So I don't wear them as much for show as for remembrance. Remembrance. I have to take some of them off when I play golf. This one particularly interferes with the swing. But I put it on afterwards. They are a memorial. A memorial. But then there's one other memorial. We'll look at that very, very briefly, and we'll be done for this hour. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 14 says, "And this day shall be a memorial unto you. And ye shall keep it a," what? "Feast unto the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." So this was a memorial established by God, by an ordinance for the people of Israel to keep perpetually, to remind them of what? His deliverance from the judgment of death that was passed upon Egyptians, killing the firstborn, and Israel was spared as he brought them out of Israel to take them to the land he had promised them. So this feast was to be kept perpetually. What do they call that feast? Passover. That's right. Passover. They keep it every year. They're still doing it. Still doing it. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 years later. We're still doing it. They call it the Cedar meal. But it's a feast to remember what God did in bringing them out of the land and delivering them from the judgment of death. Have we been delivered from the judgment of death? How? By what? The death of the Lamb. That feast they ate was a lamb that was slain. The blood was applied to the door in order to indicate that Christ's death as the sacrificial lamb of God that would come years later, thousands of years later, was the only way to escape the judgment of death. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. That's a wonderful memorial. And you and I need to be reminded today that our God is a great God. Our God is a God who provided for our redemption by his death on the cross. And that we have that eternal redemption. And we need to be reminded of that. Certainly as we look into the scriptures, we are reminded again of that which we read in 1 Samuel 12:24. "Only fear the Lord and serve him with all your heart For consider how great things he hath done for you. God's left us memorials all along the way. Some were to Israel, but they're just as much a memorial for us, because we remember what God did for Israel and what God promised for Israel. And if God did for Israel what he said he would do, and God kept his promises to Israel as he said he would, will he not do what he has said he will do for us? Will he not keep his promises for us? Has God changed? Will God ever change? Will God ever die? Can he fulfill all his promises? We have these memorials to remind us of that. Hey, no matter what's going on in the world today, God's still on the throne, folks. God's still on the throne. I don't care who gets elected in November. God's still on the throne. And he may use some despicable individual that spurns God and spurns his word to bring chastisement upon America. But God's still on the throne, and he has a purpose for it all. Did God judge Israel? Did they go through horrible judgments? Didn't they go through persecution? Didn't they go through slavery and so on and so forth? And yet God never changed his promises. And in the end, he brought them out of that bondage. He brought them back to the land of Israel. And he's working in them today to prepare for the coming time when he will return as King of kings and Lord of lords and rule over all the earth from Jerusalem. And Israel will remember the promises of God because God's left them the memorials so that they won't ever forget them. Friends, you and I are to be living memorials, just like the demoniac. God said, go home, show to them what God has done for you. That's what God wants us to do. If he wanted to, he could take us home to be with the Lord right now. And we'd be reunited with Brother Storm and all the others that have gone before. But God's not through with us yet. And he's given us memorials to remember that we might be faithful in serving him until his plan is fulfilled and he takes us home. Praise God that we have the privilege of being living memorials. And let's not forget him. Let's not fail him. Let's not turn back. Let's be faithful until God calls us home. Let's bow together in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come together today, the opportunity to gather around your word, the opportunity to be encouraged in this day. Thank you for the triumph of the cross. It brings to us eternal victory. And Brother Storm's enjoying that victory today in your presence. And thank you that we can look forward to that victory. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you, true to you, remembering those things that you have given us as memorials, that we might serve the Lord our God until he comes. In Jesus' name, amen.